Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn. He is Glenn West, and we're coming at you here on a Tuesday afternoon. And if you're watching this or listening to it, we appreciate you. But the big news circulating around the college football world, and especially down in here in Baton Rouge, is that the offensive coordinator position, or positions, as we're going to talk about, Glenn, is seemingly kind of been finalized. You and I have been kind of sitting on this, waiting to record this podcast, waiting to get our stories out on this. But Joe Sloan and Cortez Hankton to be co-OCs in Baton Rouge next fall. Your immediate thoughts of maybe not a massive surprise, but this is kind of all fits the bill of the continuity and wanting to kind of keep up with what was a record-setting offense this past year and trying to keep as much of the same heading into a new year with a new quarterback.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's really not a big surprise. If you just kind of spent the last couple of weeks, even reading our board the last couple of weeks, I mean, we've kind of felt like this was going to be the trajectory LSU was going to go into. And really, I mean, like you go back to offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock leaving, what was it, in mid to late December? Right after
Christmas, I believe.
Yeah, right. Like it's been several weeks now since that move was made, where he went to Notre Dame. And really in that time, we have not heard a whole lot of names connected to the offensive coordinator job. I mean, outside names. We certainly heard a lot of the buzz around Joe Sloan and Cortez Hankton earning the dual role of offensive coordinator for the bowl game. They were working in unison for many of the bowl practices leading up to the ReliaQuest Bowl on January 1st. And so it was, I think this was kind of the trajectory you were going towards if you were LSU, because really we heard no names, at least I don't think I did. And I'm not sure a whole lot of other people did either, in terms of just maybe guys that Brian Kelly was looking towards as an outside source. I mean, Tommy Reese was maybe floated around for like a couple hours. And I think that was just more of a strong rumor than any kind of interest that was shown in from LSU's part. So I think you got it right, though. I mean, the one thing that we've talked about all off season, or at least for the last month or so, is just how important it was to have some kind of continuity returning within the staff. And certainly on the offensive side of the ball, when you had the number one offense, you had so many of these pieces coming back, so many guys that maybe haven't had a whole lot of opportunity in this offense yet that you're hoping can develop and evolve in the system here in year three. You want to have some returning pieces in place from the coaching perspective. And so I think it's very much deserved for Joe Sloan and Cortez Hankton. Joe Sloan's going to be the play caller from what it sounds like, from what's being reported by our Matt Zenitz earlier today. So that I think is the right move to make as well, just because Sloan has some play calling experience going back to his time at Louisiana Tech. Obviously he was in the booth for the ReliaQuest bowl game as well. So a lot of connecting parts here that make sense for him to be the play caller up in the booth. I think for Cortez and what his role will look like, I think you could certainly envision him remaining the receivers coach, the passing game coordinator, but I would expect that there's a little bit more of a responsibility given to him on the sidelines. I mean, that's where he's been the last couple of years, is on the field. And so maybe having somebody on the field to help with kind of the structure and just the getting everybody subbed in and out that needs to be on the field, that will be something that he can help out with. And then of course Sloan from the box making some of these play calls. But and I'm sure Hankton will have his views on just how a game is supposed to be called, what kind of adjustments they need to be making. You can still see that stuff from on the field, and I'm sure his opinion will be greatly valued, because I do think that they showed, and it was a small sample size, but I think they showed that they can have some success together. I think they have a strong working relationship. We've heard really good things about their ability to work together during the bowl practices, and just kind of having that month or so to really kind of work out any kinks or something that they might have, I think really benefited LSU and made it a lot easier, I think, for Brian Kelly. When you look at the success that offense had in the second half, in particular that game, that's kind of the vision that I think you can really lean into this offseason and really see if you can't tap into it and continue to evolve this offense. It's going to look a little bit different stylistically. You can't kind of go around that at all when you're losing a guy like Jaden Daniels, who was so multifaceted. But I still think there's a lot of room to grow with this offense. And you've got a lot of the returning personnel coming back that maybe didn't have opportunity last year that I think are really going to be able to thrive under Joe Sloan and Cortez Hankton this season.
You talked about, just the continuity, the structure that you have. I mean, look, there's a framework for offensive success and an elite offense in Baton Rouge. And right now, if you're LSU, you're sitting here saying, okay, we're going to miss some of the players, the chess pieces that weren't there. Mike Denbrock's no longer there. Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. But you're hoping that this framework is going to allow you to continue just to plug and play high-level players and high-level coaches into the mix and say, hey, we're going to keep rolling with that. And I don't think that's a far-fetched idea, especially, look, Joe Sloan, and I think you mentioned it here, he's got experience calling plays at his time at Louisiana Tech. I mean, this is not something that's going to be a foreign concept to him. You mentioned – as well with Cortez Hankton, those two guys collabing, what we saw out of this group, especially when they got rolling in that bowl game. You and I both said, I mean, look, a lot of people might consider bowl games to not be super important. With what we know now, it's massively important for LSU success and continuing to have that continuity. One of the big questions, though, Glenn, that's been posed on social media, that's been posed, I think, on our board a time or two, and maybe the concerns that you always get is when you don't name an offensive coordinator solo, there becomes a question of, oh, hey, how do these guys work together? Like, you're really going to figure out what the chemistry is like on your staff when you have kind of two guys. I'll preface it with this. A lot of times you see this, and I think LSU did this, in order to keep both of these guys on staff. If Joe Sloan's not named the OC, I guarantee you some school comes calling, if not this year or next year, for them to be their play caller. And maybe even Cortez Hankton to a certain degree of elevating him, if not this year, next year. So I think that's step one of this, of where they really wanted to kind of bring in and say, hey, we're going to elevate you. Also with that title, you get a little bit of a pay raise. That's no secret as well. But one of the concerns is, can this 2-OC system work? Glenn, I've been kind of, all about this. If they did this and you have a guy, the staff around them that's going to be helping them out, I feel like this is, yes, you're going to have a guy as a designated play caller. This is really a group effort, and this offensive coaching staff is elite. I mean, with guys like Frank Wilson, guys like Brad Davis at the offensive line position. I mean, these guys are all going to have some serious input in what this offense wants to look like. I don't think it's going to fall solely on the shoulders of these two guys. Well, this really is going to be a collaborative effort.
I think the most important piece that you can take out of the reporting today is the fact that Zenit's reported, and a lot of other people have since reported that it's going to be Joe Sloan making the play calls. And I think that is the separator here. I mean, you can give Hankton the OC title, and I'm sure there's going to be some other responsibilities that come with that. Maybe on a game week, they'll script the first 15 to 20 plays together. And I'm sure Cortez will have a big time impact in terms of what kind of play calls they want to go into, what kind of game plan they want to create for that opponent that week. But as the game moves along, I think you'll see Joe Sloan make a lot of those play calls, make a lot of those decisions from the box, and then get Hankton's opinion and views on all that stuff as the game goes along. I think that's the best way that you can approach this. I don't think you can go in thinking, okay, here, you're going to call this play, and then I'm going to call the next one, and then you're going to call this one. Like, I don't think that would ever work. Yeah. But if you go in with a little bit of a set structure of, okay, this guy is going to call the plays, but this is also going to be with the knowledge of what I can bring and what, you know, I think this could also work for certain sets and certain plays and whatnot. So I do think we're getting a little bit down the rabbit hole here with this, but the point of the whole overall view here is that both of these guys are going to be involved in the decision-making for the offense. And I think it's important because both of them have been in this system now for two years, or going into their third offseason of working together. We've heard some really good things about how they've worked together, how they value each other's opinion. And, I'm going to be very interested to see how it works. I would imagine that when you're looking at just kind of why those two were the ones that were named the co-OCs, LSU's passing game is going to be heavy influence on this season. I mean, Joe Sloan's worked very closely with Garrett Nussmeier.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Nussmeier talked about, leading up to the bowl game, how impactful Joe Sloan's been in terms of his development as a player, even when he's not been playing the last couple of years. So now that they have a full offseason together to really kind of structure this offense and cater it to what Garrett does really well, I think that's going to be one of the big things I'm looking for in spring ball when they get back together and have everybody back, and what that looks like in terms of the evolution of the offense. So I think it's a good move. You absolutely could not afford to lose either one of these guys. And if it means slapping on an extra title for both of them, if it means giving them both pay raises, we've seen it. Just the impact they've had on recruiting alone, what they got coming up in this 2025 class, what's coming up in 2026. There's a lot of elite level players that LSU's in the mix for right now. And I think these next two recruiting cycles in particular are going to be critical that you get right, not only on defense, which has garnered a lot of the attention so far, but you've got to be able to continue to get the right pieces in place on offense as well. And these two are two of the ones that are really spearheading that effort, along with Frank Wilson and Brad Davis, of course. But the big head of the monster, I think, has been this passing game and the success that it's had over the last 2 years. And you're seeing it here with Jaden Daniels and Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers, all expected to be first-round picks and in discussions for Heisman awards and finalists for different national awards this past season. You want to continue to build on that, and I think that's why you're seeing LSU really make an effort here to keep both of those guys on the staff.
Yeah, and we obviously can't forget Cortez Hankton has been the passing game coordinator at LSU, so he's already had some input, not just in what the receivers are doing, but what this passing offense wants to look like. And that's something that, look, you're going to figure out a lot about what your staff is made of when you have these two titles. I think it's some good fodder for media and social media to take care of. I think inside the building, Brian Kelly and – look, I'm not trying to, Glenn, say that Brian Kelly is immune to making bad decisions. No, he's a human being. He's going to make some decisions that he might have to go back on. And we've already seen that at his time at LSU. But I don't think he would have made this decision if he thought there might have been a point of contention between anybody on that offensive staff and not clearly defining what the roles inside that building are. That's the biggest key here, too. And you kind of put that into play when you said, hey, Joe Sloan's calling these offensive plays. He's going to be the lead guy in this. But this is a collaborative effort. I mean, when you have even in the bowl game, you go back, Brad Davis and Frank Wilson, they were in charge of kind of the run game plan. This is a dynamite offensive coaching staff that I think has a really, really good shot to continue some really, really fun success that they were able to kind of capture and take that momentum into 2024. Obviously, Glenn, we have just been – I mean, the cup runneth over, I should say, with just coaching news. And the light might be at the end of the tunnel here as we kind of, close in. Obviously, some player personnel movement today. But the latest around LSU's remaining hire, Matt Zenitz, who has been one of the best additions to 24/7 Sports in a long time. Well, ever since, Glenn and I came on board. We'll kind of put that to the side, aside from Glenn and myself. But he kind of reported that it seems like the LSU wants to go with their final on-the-field coach hire, Glenn, for a guy with experience with tight ends, but also some play-calling experience. You mentioned a name earlier where people were like, oh, Tommy Rees. We saw what he just accepted to go to the NFL. As this kind of continues to wind down, we get closer to spring ball, which, I mean, maybe we need to start marking off the days in the calendar there. Your thoughts on where this goes? I know that there's a heavy candidate down at Tulane right now that a lot of people have, really kind of identified. But how do you feel about LSU looking for that final spot to say, hey, we want a guy that coaches tight ends and the play calling aspect, which would mean more maybe of a collaborative, helpful effort to put the best on the field product out there?
Yeah, I think it's important to bring in somebody when you want a bunch of different opinions kind of swirling. I think it's not always the best idea, but I think in this case, when LSU has so much returning continuity with this offense and kind of how they want to structure it, how they want to approach going about fixing or not fixing, but just outlining it for Garrett Nussmeier and for this passing game to continue to have success. It's important to have a couple extra opinions in there. And, the name that we're kind of beating around here has been Slade Nagel from Tulane. That's been one that's been really thrown around a lot over the last couple of days. He's been getting some offensive coordinator buzz from various programs around the country. So we'll wait and see kind of what happens with that. He's been helpful with the play calling with the Green Wave for the last couple of years. He's been the tight ends coach, I believe, now for 7 or 8 years with Tulane. So very, very well equipped to handle that position, knows the kind of the intricacies that go into developing that group technique wise. So that would make a lot of sense. John McNulty is another name that we've heard for the tight ends coach, somebody who's been around the business a lot or around college football a lot. He's been around the NFL. coaching various positions over his career, not only just tight ends, but receivers and quarterbacks, and actually worked with Brian Kelly for a short stint during his career as well. So there's that working relationship and that past knowledge of what he's like. So those are just a couple names that we've heard. Very well could expand depending on what these decisions are made in the next several days, week. I don't think we have a firm lockdown on when the final hire will be made for the staff, but somebody that you want to bring in that can not only help with the knowledge of play calling and that sort of area as well, but someone that I think you want to bring in that can help with recruiting as well. I mean, like they've done a really nice job of bringing in tight ends over the years. That Mason Taylor is entering his junior year. You've got a couple of young studs in Kamori and Pimpton and Mac Markway entering their second offseason. Tre'Davious Green is somebody that is just booming with potential and someone that I know that the staff is just excited to get their hands on to potentially add to even more fuel to the fire for this offense going into 2024. So you've got some really good pieces here on the tight end room that will want to be developed by the right guy. And I think what Brian Kelly has proven this year is that no expense is too much to get, you know, to get these hires right. And so they're doing their due diligence on this thing. I think they're close. They have a pool of candidates, but we'll see just kind of how long it takes for them to kind of get this finalized. And I think that whoever they bring in is not only going to have his hands in, you know, with the tight ends, but also with, like you said, with the offense and the play calling decisions and how what their opinions are on how this offense can continue to be run efficiently, but also someone that can help out with the recruiting aspect of things as well, because they're, you know, there are some really exciting tight end prospects, offensive weapons that I think, could really be pursued here over the coming years. And, having as many talented recruiters on staff as possible will only help in those efforts.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. And you can never accumulate enough talent, whether it's on the roster or whether it's in your coaching staff rooms as well. Glenn, I'll end it with this and we'll get out of here. The big news potentially happening is that Jim Harbaugh might be close to landing the Chargers job. How do you feel about these crazy perceived rumors of Brian Kelly potentially going to Michigan? I just wanted to get your little soft toss for fun thoughts as we wrap up this coaching little search podcast.
Well, I mean, if the way that he's been spending money right with this coaching staff, I would find it very hard to believe if Brian Kelly is a serious candidate, if that Michigan job does open up. Stranger things have happened, but I think most fans can go to bed at night with the comfort that he's going to be the coach here. I wouldn't expect anything to come of this, but you never know. I mean, it is a northern job, and it's one of the bigger north jobs in the country. But I think probably the most important aspect of this is that there would be another school, another transfer portal window for 30 days for players to enter, another ripple effect that would have on whoever Michigan hires. So who knows? Maybe there's a couple defensive linemen up north that are looking for some warmer weather down south, or a cornerback or two that might be wanting to throw their hand in the mix as well. So that are national champions, you know, coming off of a national championship season at Michigan. So that would be kind of my only interest right now if I'm LSU, or if I'm, you know, any fan that's worried about Brian Kelly, you know, leaving for to go back up north. I don't believe that would be a very strong likelihood. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll say ditto and move on off that topic. But hey, we appreciate you for tuning in. Cortez Hankton, Joe Sloan hired to be the co-OCs, and this coaching staff on the field wise starting to take shape as we get closer and get into winter workouts, and we get into spring football as well. Glenn, cannot wait. And we got to get it on the schedule here soon for our first baseball podcast, a big preview podcast. Believe that you had a nice night on Sunday evening at the big kickoff dinner, and then I believe Friday we get to get some good content from the players as well. And so, man, it's a busy week on LSU's campus. Baseball, college game day is coming on Thursday for South Carolina. Yep. LSU women. I was texting with a buddy. He said, what time are you going to get there? I said, I might need to like camp out so I can have a parking spot for media to be able to get into the game. I've got a media credential. Just, I don't know if I'm going to have a parking spot. So a fun time of the year here in here on LSU's campus.
Did you see the tickets? I'm
easy.
$600, $800, $1,200 tickets for floor tickets. I mean, that's NBA level, Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I mean, playoffs.
That's playoff. Like, that's big time money right there. So should be a very fun game on Thursday night, and I'm looking forward to it, as I know a lot of LSU fans are. So we'll have Bryce there, and we'll certainly be tuning in from over here and striking up that conversation. So make sure you guys are tuned in and subscribed and ready to have some fun on Thursday.
Yeah, then we'll have great content on Friday talking all things baseball as we get ready to kick off that season here very, very soon. He's Glenn West. My name is Bryce Coon. We appreciate you tuning in wherever it may be. And this has been another episode of the Go 24/7 podcast.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.